And our second reading today, again, possibly the most familiar passage in all of Scripture for those who are within the faith community and for those who are not part of the faith community. It's tremendously well known. I've actually used it as a call to worship a couple of times in the last few weeks, and somewhat in preparation for today that we can hear this over and over again, but it is Psalm 23. For the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on us. Lord God, that your word may not return empty. Amen. I was a little intrigued by how, not only how few sermons I've ever heard on this passage, but how very rarely I've ever preached on it. It is a passage that has found its way into a particular meaning and place within our culture, and rarely do people pull that into contrast with other possibilities of what this passage means. So pretty much, I think probably every funeral service, well, certainly 90% of funeral memorial services that I've officiated at, this psalm has been read, and probably to way in excess of 90% of internments, committal services, this passage has been read. It is part of a body of scripture that we bring when time is difficult, and it's a tremendously comforting set of words to us, and it is a passage that people just know so very, very well. And it is all that. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage. It's also, though, a very there are other angles on this passage. The Sunday school class this morning, I invited us to ask, what would this passage mean if it was being said to somebody who's 20? You know, if it's not kind of saved for end-of-life transition, but if it is a beginning of life, kind of question about how does one organize himself or herself in order to be a person that can most maximize the days ahead of them? How do we be people who standing at the beginning of our journeys, you know, be it as a teenager, as a preteen, as somebody who has recently gone through a divorce, somebody who has lost a husband or wife, when we find ourselves in these moments in our lives where it's a little bit complicated and confusing, and where the path ahead of us doesn't seem particularly clear, how do the words in this passage actually speak to us as people who are always about a journey in and through the life that we're living? And so I want to come to this passage perhaps with not really fresh ears. In fact, I would have to say now I have kind of crossed that threshold where in days gone by, I would be considered wise just by virtue of how old I am. But I'm not sure that anything of particular wisdom is gained simply by growing old, to quote what's his name, that pompous guy from New England. Wrote Walden's Pond, Henry David Thoreau. There's really kind of a place for that maybe we don't become wise simply by getting old. Maybe we become wise because the journey has not been what we expected. And I want to come to this passage because I know a little bit about sheep. I'm not an expert on sheep. I know a little bit about sheep. I know that the sheep, if they're allowed to graze in a pasture too long, kill it. They graze down to where they actually not only eat every piece of stubble, but they yank up the roots, and they can actually totally devastate a place if they stay there too long. And I also know that sheep are not particularly courageous animals. They don't like danger. They don't like flowing water. They like still water. They, for good reason. Folks were talking about that in class this morning, but you got all that wool around you, and if you get that in the water and you get waterlogged, that's life-ending. So sheep understand that it's really possible to get overwhelmed, to get drugged down, and to actually lose one's life because one is so surrounded by the chaos of the complexity of the moving waters. So we can go there with the language of this psalm and really hear again that our lives are about being on a journey. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I can trust in God and God's provision, even as we say in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. We trust in the Lord's provision, and at the same time, part of that provision is we have to be on a journey. There is no safe place. There is no comfortable place where we can stay and be safe, because if we stay in one place for very long, we are going to overgraze it to the point where it will actually no longer be able to sustain us. The Lord leads us beside the still waters. And the Lord leads us to the green pastures. And the Lord leads us on right paths for God's name's sake. So there's a sense within this scripture that we are on a journey and we're always on the move. And as we move, sometimes it's kind of blissful and it's a sunny day like yesterday. And you just want to be outside and you want to be working in the garden or you want to be doing whatever it is you're doing. But you want to be outside. You want to be with all that's going on. There are days that are like that. But there are a lot of days that aren't like that. And the psalmist tells us, even though I walk through the darkest valley, When I'm in that place in my life where nothing is like it's supposed to be, when all of those promises that I beheld about if I will just be with God, my life will be comfortable and I will be loved and I will be lovely, there are places when we are on our journey and we realize that that's not how it's playing out. And we can get so incredibly angry at God in those moments. I always kind of liked that little poster thing, the footsteps in the sand, where there were two footsteps in the, or two lines of feet, and then all of a sudden there was one, and I turned to God and said, "Yeah, so where were you in my darkest, heaviest, deepest times, and why did you abandon me?" And Jesus says, "Well, I didn't abandon you. That's when I was carrying you." It's like, I like it. It makes a great poster. I'd rather have that on my wall than what it is I really experience. But I, just to be straight honest, I go through periods of my life where in the midst of my prayer, it feels like there's nobody on the other end. you know, where I venture into it, and I want to trust God, and I pray to God, and I call to God, and I cry to God, and it feels like I'm just speaking into the emptiness. That there is no there. And I can become disheartened. I can become frustrated. I can become judgmental of God and what God's doing in my life. And I can say, what about these promises? Where are you in the midst of my prayer? I love that Mother Teresa also had those days. In fact, those periods of her life. In fact, perhaps long periods of her life. Yeah, though I walk through the darkest valley. And I am alone in this valley. And that lovely connection with God that I want to have, it's really not there like I want it to be. It is there. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I always love people that keep showing up, even when it feels like it's not really working. Even when it feels like that whole set of promises that I received when I was making my commitment to faith, and me and Jesus were going to go to the bank, and we were going to be rich together, and I would always be blessed, and Jesus would always be present, those promises that were held out before me, it's like, well, I'm glad it isn't always like that. You know, I walk through the dark valley, and I feel tremendously alone. And then I remember who I am. And I remember that I have been baptized. And I remember that a community of faith surrounded me with their love. That they invited me to know God. They invited me to trust in God. They held the course, even in the most uncomfortable of times. And I look to them and how much I love them and how much they love me. Guided by a truth of community and a genuine commitment to one another, I am comforted. Thy rod and thy staff that lift me up when I feel broken, that contain me and constrain me when I feel like I want to go in directions that would be unhealthy for me or for others. Even when I don't have that profound sense of the presence of God in my life, I trust in God because God has set for me boundaries and parameters that allow me to live safely, even in the midst of that emptiness. And you prepare a table before me. I love that as we come to communion, that we come to this table prepared by God. This table that is set for us, where we are gathering with all of those people who created that community, who were our rods and our staffs, who held dreams for us when we were too little to hold our own dreams, who believed who we could become and who we could be, people who loved us before they knew us and before we knew ourselves, before we had become, you know, those folks, grandmas and grandpas, the lovely neighbor person, the old person whose house you snuck off to, and your parents got all freaked out when they had to come find you. And you know those people who loved you and held you and beheld you. They're here at this table with us today. But there's also others at this table today. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's right here in the presence, not here, I mean, we're not among enemies, I hope. But isn't it interesting that in this passage, in this scripture, that where we find ourselves fed is when we're not with those with whom we feel safe. The only time that the scripture here speaks of when we are nourished and nurtured and when we're in that place of growing is when we're in the world that makes us terribly uncomfortable. When those people are in office. When the road ahead of us seems terribly frightening, when I don't trust who is there in control in the church or in the city, in the government, when the saber rattling is happening across nations, across the earth, in the presence of my enemies, that's when I need to find this place where I come back into myself, where I trust the rod and the staff that comfort me, and in the midst of the confusion and my genuine ability to not know and not control the situation, that is where I am nourished. That's where I'm strengthened. That's when I grow into the person that God would have me be. So my head is anointed, and I am shown honor. And in the truth of it all, my cup overflows because God has guided me on this journey of my life into so many places and pastures that I never would have gone on my own. And in those places has held me and beheld me and trusted me to fall back onto the love of this community and the communities of faith that I have known, allowing me to trust even in the darkness and the fear, even when I believe I am in the midst of my enemies, that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long, on this side of what we call death, on the other side of what we call death. And I will keep coming to this table set for me, set before me by Christ himself. Let us pray. Lord, we are here as sheep of your flock, having experiences that we did not want and we never imagined, having experiences that we dreamed for, hoped for, and longed for. We are in the process of learning what it means to be us. We're in the process of being fed and nurtured in ways that we really didn't want to be fed and nurtured. We are safe with you. We praise you, Lord, that you have called our names and that at some level we have been invited to respond to your voice. Let us know that we are safe to dwell in your house and with you, now and forever. Amen.